Cook and Helen, Saturday the 3rd of October, 7-1, Channel 1 right. Channel 1 right, Cook and Helen, this Saturday the 3rd of October, 71, number 228.
Bring to the house, I mean, they did. Law had to ride a little man back home and get the truck and trailer to get them horses back home. He didn't even try to walk them back.
I sprang too fast. The motorcyclists were still in town, you know.
Why, yes.
Oh,
they could have just...
Well, they could have killed me.
That's right. They sure could.
Let's see. This one.
Yeah, I see.
You scared me, though.
Look right there.
Yeah. I was afraid of his... he has veins, you know, that they're so protruding. I was afraid maybe he'd cut one of them. And I didn't know, but they told me it came down on his foot, and I didn't know whether it came down on it or at it or what.
Yeah.
They're just enough to make him sore.
Well, you just lucked out that you didn't get hurt.
Just lucky that I didn't have anybody on that wagon. That's all I'm, you know.
And they were taken off.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
I told the principal, I said, now last year... I said, I'm sorry, but last year I never had this problem, but we didn't have no motorcycles. And the principal tried to calm them boys down and keep them from riding them motorcycles. But there's a bunch of outsiders, and he couldn't do nothing with them.
Y'all, have some coffee. Uh-huh.
Oh, I will.
Thank
Just so tacky after you worked all that time to have them.
Well, that's the time I spent.
The whole took off today.
Hello.
Hey, Helen. Where'd you come from?
Oh, I'm tagging behind. I never keep up with anybody. I'm always dragging behind.
That is.
Well, them rubber tires can really stick in when you don't have a.
You ain't a joke.
Sure that.
But they were hitched to the wagon.
They were hitched to the wagon. Lord have mercy.
The last thing in the world I'd want. Cookies just tell me about the accident yesterday.
What's that?
They blew it yesterday. I didn't get my horses in the parade.
Is this a cream?
A sugar. I hooked them up there at the house and drove them downtown just as calm right through town, and the train went by and didn't excite them a bit in the world. Well, right across the railroad tracks behind the train, and it just a quivering like that.
Yeah.
Didn't excite them horses a bit in the world. Right on down all through town, right into the schoolhouse. Pulled up behind, was getting ready to line up.
And that can be so sticky.
And a bunch of them, about 8, 10, or 12 of them ornery boys cranked up their motorcycles with no mufflers on them.
Oh, they were loud.
Just sounded
you
like...
You know how the Shriners are. Right. Just sounded about...
And they took right at my horses. Took right at my horses and motorcycles. On their hind wheel, you know.
Why, Cookie, that's incredible.
That's the truth. They did that. And when they took after him, Babe, I want you to know, went in the air.
Jesus.
Look at my hands, how they're all skinned up.
His arm and his ribs are sore and his hips sore. You know where he pulled him, trying to hold him.
The tongue hit me on this side, pulled right up under my arm. Tongue did.
The tongue?
Yeah, I was up.
See, they were hooked up.
They was hooked up. I was up front of holding them, see?
Oh, you wasn't in the wagon.
No, there wasn't nobody in the wagon. I seen what was coming off. And I jumped out.
Oh.
This boy run in and grabbed Babe, see?
And Rowdy was just...
Rowdy stood there just as calm as a cucumber.
Huh?
Surely, Rowdy was fairly calm.
He was just as calm as he could be.
But Babe was excited.
Mm-hmm. But they took right at her on her side.
Oh.
Rowdy done the same thing if it took at him on his side.
Any horse would have.
I don't care, any horse.
How well trained.
So, after done that, tore my harness all to pieces. I told the principal, I said, boys, they done blew it now. couple other boys came up there. I said, boys, unhook them horses back there before somebody gets killed. And I uncoupled the lines. And got my halter ropes on them. Led them back out, back of the school now, out of sight. Tried to knock the sound off, you know, before they quietened down. But Babe didn't quieten down when I turned her out at 4:30 yesterday evening.
At home?
At home. She wasn't quietened down yet. It took me a solid 45 minutes to load her in that trailer.
Well, Lark came home and got, Lark rode the horse home and
I took the
trailer back,
trailer.
You know. And I don't know who, did anyone help you?
Yeah, Mr. Paul crossed there. He finally come up and helped me.
And Laura said they really were getting loaded then. Riley would go in, but Babe wouldn't. She was all up in the air.
She wasn't no trouble much down here, was she? After I got a place to load her.
Oh, she wasn't in trouble. No.
I tell you, those boys, they were, and they went down through town on their hind wheels.
Children
along the sidewalk.
I told
so
George Gill, and I said I thought I was going to a parade, not an acrobatic show.
And there was an older one, the father's was in with him.
Right.
He was on a motorcycle. Well, I don't know which one was, but one of his sons was riding too, and he was riding a motorcycle.
Carl O'Berry from
on the hind wheel?
Yeah, no, he was on a motorcycle, but I think one of his sons was up and down.
His son was a ringleader of all of it.
There were several of them, but little children along the street, that's what that, and they were going right by at that particular time, the grade school, and all those little children right along the edge of the street, and he could have gotten out of control and killed someone.
Well, now, you never counted on anything like that.
Oh, no.
No, I never, I didn't know they was going to have motorcycles in it. I didn't
now
think
they usually have bicycles. You know, they let the wheels
let the
kids
little
decorate
boys
the bicycles.
Decorate their bicycles.
Now that is grade school stuff. That's
but
from
now,
Shell Middle School.
My horses ain't afraid of a bicycle.
No, they've been behind the fire truck before and didn't.
Last year they was behind the fire truck and the siren going and the whistle
that
going.
That didn't bother them.
It didn't bother them a bit in the world. They just walked on off as proud as you please.
But this was the motorcycle coming toward them. They saw the fear. You know, they were afraid when it was coming toward them.
Well, now last year, and you had all that dust or something. What was it?
Fumes from that fire engine.
Yeah.
Gas fumes, and it burnt my eyes. I was deathly sick.
They had the ambulance behind the fire truck this year. Ambulance behind the fire truck, and then these crazy motorcycles behind that. I said they needed one handy. They might have to use it.
But the little kid that made the float out of the wagon got second place after all.
It was all over with.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. They was.
Yeah, they had the prettiest float, but the theme. They didn't stick to the theme, you know. I didn't know they had a theme. I told the teacher came by and apologized. After I had already gone to bed. And she came to the house. I'd never seen her before. It was one of Harry Dean's teachers. And she apologized for not coming out to help, you know, and supporting her anymore. And she did. And she said she had night classes, but she said, I don't know what the other excuses are. I said, there's four of us. And she still didn't, you know. And she said they had the prettiest float. But the other class that won first place stuck to the theme. I says, what theme? She says, well, the theme they had, something about they played the Chiefland Indians or something, you know, and it's supposed to be a theme. I says, well, I didn't know that. I said, no one told me anything on what the girls come home and wanted to fix, and I fixed it or helped them with it.
Yeah.
So she apologized for not being so cooperative as she should have been.
Well, guy, I brought one of your old cows back home this morning.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me.
I sure did. She's down there in the field right now.
she was looking for another one.
She looked around and acted like she was at home.
Yeah.
She was hunting for the other cattle.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
She's pretty.
Good cow.
Well, let me tell you, now that was next door over there. You all was working on that flute yesterday, Helen. Is that the same people that's been there?
Saps?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They own it. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. They've been.
They're just never there.
Well, have they quieted down? What?
Well, the daughter moved out. She got married and moved out.
She left.
Is the daughter the one that...
The daughter is the one had the children that, you know, were so rowdy.
Oh, it was the children that were so rowdy.
No, Mrs. Sapp is a diabetic, and she can't live alone. In fact, she can't stay alone because they can't control it too well, and she's so fear of sugar coma, you know, going to a coma. So she can't stay alone. And the only time she can come home is when someone comes and stays with her. She was home in the summer about 3 weeks. Her grandson stayed with her, and Laura gave her insulin every day.
Yeah.
So she hadn't been home since.
Hmm.
It was in August when she left.
Lord knows she ain't even been there.
Uh-uh.
It was just the children that
She had a daughter that had three boys, and they...
11 months cost me $1,000.
She married again, and then she separated, I understand, but she still lives in Lake City. She never come back. They'd like for her to come back home and stay with her, so Mrs. Sapp can be there, you know. I hope they don't.
Yeah.
It's nice and quiet.
Yeah. Just an old-fashioned barbed wire wouldn't have done it.
No.
No.
Or you had to have something to stop all the balls.
I didn't want nothing of theirs in my yard.
Well, we had to have something that they were to stay out of, because we'd go off, and if we didn't lock everything, lock, stock, and barrel, they'd go in the house and could bring out what they wanted to play with.
Yeah.
I'd come home and find Frank. Now, Frank never had very many toys, but what he had, he tried to take care of. And at that time, his room was in the very back room where you had to go all through the house to get to the back room. And we'd find them under the bush. They boys would go in the house and get them and play with them and leave them outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else they wanted to take out?
Well, look, Helen, on that float you did yesterday, you all did right smart work on that. You put napkins on chicken wire.
Mm-hmm. And it's just as pretty today as it was yesterday. Sit out all night.
Is that right?
In the front yard.
And those napkins won't soak up water like the...
Crepe paper.
Or feed.
Mm-mm.
But you have.
Now we put them in there, right? Now some of the other floats that use napkins, they just poked them in, you know. Now we twisted them. We took the napkin apart, separated it, you know, this way, and then we separated, and then we took it this way, and we did this before we even put it on the first time,
yep.
And then we wrapped that around the wire, and we put it in there. It stayed.
Well, what made it stay on the wire?
We just twisted it so tight, and then by the time you stick another one close to the wire, you know, and you fill up, you go all around a piece of chicken wire.
Oh.
You have it full, and then you fluff it out.
Oh. So you didn't have to use the pins on that.
No.
That was just for the flowers.
Uh-huh. No, I just wired, and what I did with those, the flowers, I stuck them in. Of course, they had stems on them, and I just wove in through it, you know. And I had some other wire used on when I fixed that name. Now I used the wire on that. But what I'm going to do with the napkins when I take them off, I'm going to get me great big bags. I'm going to take them off and save them.
Sure.
Use them.
I brought one home and bought another one.
Okay.
Oh, it's cow.
Yeah.
You and Alice went horse trading. I mean cow trading.
Yeah, I bought one. You got a calf on her. You're going to sell the calf in a month.
And you didn't want to buy the calf?
Not that expensive, no.
Not at his price?
Not at his price, but I'll buy the cow at his price. I trapped him on this one, just like I did on this other old cow I bought.
You mean the same fella?
Yeah. Tommy Crawford, I trapped him.
He priced you. Now, I had that gold cookie.
He priced me the cow and the calf about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
At $245. Cow and the calf.
Yeah.
Well, he sold the calf.
For $90.
For $90. He put another one on her and got about $20 worth of good out of her for in 2 weeks. He made $20 on it. That was $110 that he made on the cow. This cow that got down here now. Okay. I said, that's $110. Subtract that from $145, leaves $135.
$245
leaves $135. That's just what I'll give you for that cow.
So he wasn't thing he could do.
There wasn't nothing he could do.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a cow now, got a calf on her. That'll bring him $130.
Let me tell you, cousin, before you all get off on something else, I want you to tell Faye about them horses going through the countryside yesterday morning. I told her.
Going up home?
Yeah.
They talked everything that moved.
Is that right?
Everything that moved.
Well, they hadn't been out for a while.
And we got up here to Marvin, just this side of Marvin Guthrie, and they saw them beautiful horses back there. And they started talking to them, and them other horses started talking and running. Lord, they were a Palomine Street coming through that field, wasn't it, guy?
Yes, sir. And you know, I didn't think about the time, but you could have just sort of slowed up and let them talk.
Yeah. Then we got over to Ray Waits's, and he got a field full of horses.
Yeah.
And now they really done some talking there.
Yeah.
They got one that looks just like Little Man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's another one in towards Gainesville, so it looks like.
Yeah. It looks like
it. Yeah, it's out of Prairie Creek. Well, Noonan's Lake is where it is.
Yeah.
It looks like Little Man.
But they were looking constantly, weren't they?
Constantly. Baby looked this way, Rowdy looked this way.
Yeah, and it always looked the same way.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, just like that.
Just
exactly.
Like that. Yeah.
Well, they like to take a trip.
Yeah. They didn't look this way. They looked this way and this way. Just like that.
Now, let me tell you. It's been a long time since I was out on the road with horses. When you was driving a team of horses along, did they do that?
No, sir.
In a wagon?
No, sir. Our oil field horses, you never heard one nicker. I don't ever remember hearing one nicker. Not even when Daddy had old Comer. Clay County's famous stallion. I don't never remember him a nicker. And we put him right out there with. We worked him with a mare. About like Molly. Only her name was Judy. Just about the size of Molly, only she had bigger feet. Poor Lord have mercy. I saw that mare lay down there and pulled, every muscle in her body would just tremble.
Maybe horses aren't worked enough now.
They're not.
That's the reason.
They're not.
Maybe they're too tired of nicker then. Now they don't have anything else to do but nicker.
But I'm wondering, I may blow it like I did yesterday, but I'm going to do something. I'm going to work my horses.
They need to be worked. You know, workhorses, I'm gonna get rusty like everything else.
I'm going to take it easy. I'm not going to bust them, but I'm going to work them.
We're going to have to get that harness out tomorrow for the first time you're over here. And with the children, we'll just get it out and lay it out and rub it.
As soon as I take care of the grocery store and get back home, I'm going to be back down here with them.
Now, I'm telling you, that was remarkable. That is remarkable now. You're trading for that truck. Now, I didn't tell Faye about that. I guess Helen knows about it. I want you to line that out a little bit, and I want to get it straight, too. You went to the credit union just to find out, didn't you? Or you knew?
No. I called up there, and he came down. He said he'd be down before 8 o'clock. I called about 6 o'clock. What the hell when I called Ball?
Oh, the man came?
Yeah, the night the man came. He said, I'll be down there between now and 8 o'clock. And about a quarter to 8, here he come.
The Mac Bowen.
That's right.
Tell you what.
He said, he wrote me down the figures. I said, I ain't going to do that. Well, you put the tag, a transfer fee, an inspection fee, take that off of it, and put it on my truck, and I'll trade with you. He dropped his head a minute. He said, I can't catch no rabbits from a dog in the box. That's the words he said. He said, I'm going to write it up. I said, now it's understood now. You write it up. I'll take it to credit union in the morning. If they accept it, I bought the truck. That's right. Okay, but I went through town. I dropped it off at the credit union. Laid it on the desk. I said, can you handle this? She looked at it. She said, I see no reason why not. I said, I've got to punch in, get your papers drawn up, and I'll be back at noon. Okay. In the meantime, she called Baldwin Chevrolet. Told him to get the truck ready for me. But she was writing out the check then. And I went back at noon. I signed 3 papers, picked up a check, walked out the door, and stuck it in my pocket, and I carried it in my pocket all afternoon.
Just itching to go.
I went to Baldwin Chevrolet. I left Gainesville. I told Frank, I said, Frank, follow me around the service station because I may not have enough gas. He followed me around the service station. I put $2 worth of gas in the old Chevrolet pickup. I cut out for Baldwin, and about 15 minutes after 5 o'clock, I pulled in a ball on the Chevrolet in Stark.
In Stark?
In Stark.
Oh.
I told Frank, he said, you didn't fool around. I said, I'll just let her go. Because I knew it was his last trip. And I had to coast it in on the lot. It coasted in on the lot.
Yeah.
I turned the switch off, and he was standing over there by another truck. I said, hey, boy, I said, this thing quit. That's all right. Just leave it set there and come on in. I got yours sitting on the street, great, waiting on you. I went in and signed 2 papers there, gave him the check. They gave me the keys and the warranty book. And he said, pull it around here and we'll put some gas in it. Pulled it around there and they put 4 gallons of gas in it.
Oh, yeah.
And I unloaded my tools and junk out of the truck and drove it on downtown. But before I left there, I asked him, I said, how do you want me to drive this thing? He said, just like you was going to California. And I did, too. I went downtown, I gassed it up, filled up the gas.
Well, in the city of Stark, you better keep the speed limit, that's all I have to say.
And I pulled out my service station, headed for Hawthorne. He wasn't under 75.
Don't tell me.
I let it go.
A new car?
Brand spanking new. If it blows up, I want it to blow up before it has 1,000 miles on it.
Is that right?
Is that right? And he didn't get in there and turn on anything or show you anything.
He asked me, he said, Mac asked me, he said, there ain't no need of me showing you how to run this thing. I said, no, if it'll operate, I'll find it. I just took off.
Yes.
You used to work with him where?
Tropical Pontiac.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, that, you was with him way back there.
Yeah.
62 and 63.
Before he went to start. Before
Mr.
Baldwin went to start. I know it'd been a long time, but I didn't know how long.
Well, is he no automobiles?
Yes, sir, he knows automobiles.
Grandpa Todd bought his car in Stark at the same place.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
A lot
man.
Of people, go to Stark to get at Baldwin Chevrolet.
Yeah, it used to be Brown Chevrolet. See, Mac, when he left Tropical Pontiac, he went to Stark as general manager for Brown Chevrolet in Stark. Well, Brown Chevrolet, old man Brown, he went busted.
Yeah.
Mac took up the franchise and bought him out. And he gets out in the woods and deals with poor people.
Yes, eh?
Like me and Guy and a lot of other poor people.
Yeah.
And he drops the price down there. If he makes $100 on an automobile, that's $100 he's made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He say he's real good, I know.
Now, will you go back up there and trade with him and, you show up there yourself?
Yes, sir.
You got to take it up there and let him service it.
I'm going to take it up there and let him service it. Yes, sir.
Well, you went back and got the trailer hitch up there.
No, I drove all the way up there and bought me a trailer hitch.
Already?
Yes, sir. I got it on there now. I'm pulling a trailer with that GLA pickup right now.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that, Faye.
He went up yesterday evening. After the mess was all over with, he went up there yesterday and got it. Uh-huh. He had put it on himself.
I got what it cost. $11.95. That's cheaper than I can take my oxygen and my steel and build.
Sure.
I
want to
see that. Yeah.
Gold truck.
And you got frame enough under there to put it on?
Yes, sir. It's got a frame under it.
That must be satisfaction. And that little old Datsun hadn't got anything.
Ain't got nothing under there. When you put a trailer hitch on one of them Datsuns, you fasten it to the floorboard. And I ain't joking you.
Fasten it to the axle.
It'd be better if you could, but you can't.
You can't do it. But how about that? That's something.
Before I loaded that cow in that trailer, I took off that truck, me and Alice, between here and Lake Buffalo. And where I could, I drove that thing 65 and 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Pulling that trailer. If it's going to tear up or blow up, I want it to blow up now.
That's right.
Gosh, I thought you had to keep it around, 30 or 40 or something.
That's why so many of them do blow up.
Mm-hmm.
They baby them till they get
and then when they do
off.
Start out, I guess they...
Yeah.
Then, by golly, they just stomp it to it. Well, it's already built up the carbon. That carbon breaks loose and something else has got to come in.
Yeah.
You open them up and drive them and keep that carbon blowed out the back of the exhaust pipe while you're all right.
Yeah. Well, now, this is not a high compression like these old cars we got here.
No.
You can use regular gas.
Yeah.
And then you can get into it. You haven't got all that
air conditioning,
air
smog control. All that kind of junk.
He had a windshield wiper. I mean, a
windshield washer.
I mean, washer.
Yeah, but he won't have it long. Nobody does. They never do work, do they?
They work a little while when they're new, but then the rest of the time they're
like the clock.
Just a headache.
You got a radio?
Yeah. Radio and heater. Automatic transmission. Heavy duty rear springs. And long wheelbase with a wide body.
Yeah.
I called him and asked him if he had a truck to that description. He said, I've got one.
Hmm.
And he had that because of the color.
Because of the color.
And I like the color.
I do. I like it.
That's the first one he got in 71.
That come on the first load that he got in 1971.
I wonder why they don't like that. What do you call that?
I call it gold, but I don't like
it. Okra.
I don't see we're getting okra out of that.
Okra. Squash now.
Okra's green.
Okra.
Huh. Funny.
You know, old okra is still green.
Gold.
Well, yeah, it's 4:15.
Yeah, we got to go. We got to drink this coffee and go.
Well, I haven't had any.
I got to go. Got to get you back home. I got to get you to the store, get you back home, and get them horses loaded.
Haven't you been to the store yet?
No.
No.
I went to bed.
You hadn't been to
bed. I have 9 hours to work tonight. The time goes back.
Oh, that's right.
You got to work tonight?
I have an extra hour to work tonight.
Yes,
and if
tonight.
It's equal to last night, I work about 72 hours. Last night was the longest. Oh, this lady that works in the same building, we have, it's Laurel A and Laurel B. But we have to go out the front door to go in her door, and she has to go out the front door to go in mine. There's no way we can get across, you know, to each other. And she knew I was tired. She called me about every hour. to keep me alert.
Yeah.
She, just about every hour she'd call a few minutes. Oh, see how you're doing. She's at 60, I think.
I was just shook up and nervous. I never went to sleep at 4 o'clock this morning.
I was tired. Oh, I was tired.
Shake it out.
And I had a book to read. I could read one sentence and I'd be so sleepy I'd have to get up and walk. And then one of the boys woke up, and I couldn't dare shut my eyes. Not, you know, especially on this particular cottage. Whew, it was a long night. And they come around to check every night, you know. 4:55 when she came this morning. And I didn't know what time she was coming. Now if she comes early, I don't have anything to worry about. She won't be back, you know. I waited all night long. 4:55. When she finally came.
Oh.
Now, still 4:55.
And I was so tired. She gets tired too, though, so I could.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see that.
Glad your
ankles
are down.
Oh, but they're not down like they should be yet.
Well, you all come over tomorrow. Well,
not for dinner or anything like that, but you know, if you can. Well, I promised Laura about 3 weeks ago I would bake her a cake. She wanted a 7-Up cake.
Oh.
On Halloween Day, which was, I mean, you know,
yeah.
On Sunday.
Yeah.
And I have to get her a cake baked. I guess we'll have to go in the morning.
It went pretty well?
That's still a little bit too slow for me. I wish I could speed it up. I thought I'd get the knack of it. I've only got half of the second strand up, all the bottom strand, you know, I raised up a foot.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd have be on the third strand, but now the uppermost. But no, I'm in the middle of the second.
Yeah.
And I'm a little disappointed in that.
Well, you never know. I got so it takes me about twice as long doing things I count on, you see.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know whether you counted that or not. Because I'm certainly encountering that problem. I think I can do more than I can.
But you had most of it. You were ready to put it up, you see.
All it's there is simple to do. All I do is tack it up and stretch it.
Well, what do you think held you up?
What held me up was joining little pieces of the bottom wire. I did not anticipate that it wouldn't reach a certain point, so I had to stop and join it. And then starting on the second wire at the top, I had to bring it down and clip it off. Then it was too short and I had to join another wire to that. So little things I didn't expect.
You've been piecing all like
piecing
that.
Little things like that I didn't quite anticipate.
When I thought you were going to put the new wire in the middle, you see, you had it all stretched, had two strands out of it.
Yeah.
Put your bottom one. Uh-huh. And the other's already there. Now I figured that'd go on and you just stick that up.
But you know, at one end, one corner there, you have it tacked onto the post at the very bottom. Now, I couldn't untack that at the bottom and raise it up a foot like it is the rest of the way without taking the whole fence off. It was in such a position. So that was another little problem. I decided that I would just clip it there and then
clip it.
Right, and then tack on a piece a foot above and I stretched it across. So little things like that I should be able to anticipate. Oh my goodness. All the vegetables here.
Yeah.
But now all your stuff there worked out all right. Your posts are good shape. New posts.
Very good.
They have
shape.
A few good new posts in it.
Yes. How much did you pay for a good post? Like
that? 85 cents.
What? All that?
I only paid 75 the last time.
Yeah.
Good night.
Well, that adds up. Adds up if you want to buy a dozen.
You know what they figure? They figure a post costs a dollar and it gets costs a dollar to put it in.
Yeah.
That's what they figure. Just round numbers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Don't linger, Mark. Go ahead. Think about it.
I'd like to ask you, why are you not going to let me patch up those big holes, you know, and the fence that I was working on last week? Do you think it's sufficient just to keep the barbed wires, or why? What's your reasoning there?
Well, you got the barb up there.
No.
That'll hold animals in.
Oh, will?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And that's the chief thing, just to keep the cows in. The cows won't go through it.
Okie dokie.
The only reason you want that old stuff up there is you keep Pappy from sticking his nose through it. But all the calves are set. All the cows are settled now. This calf, he got no business. So.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're sort of used to fencing now.
Yeah, I'll speed up a little bit. I'll be able to anticipate some little things a little better. I'll tell you, one thing that I found that speeded it up there that when I started the second strand was that winch. I decided to use that. That's a little faster for me than using the two hammers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it could be. It could very well be.
Mm-hmm.
Here's someone.
They don't want meat.
They don't want meat.
Okay.
You were bragging on that winch the other day.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Come in.
Okay.
Hey there.
Bringing his own coffee.
Pull up a chair.
Pull up a chair.
Tell us what you're up to.
I ain't got just a few minutes.
Gotta move.
Let's get this chair.
Gotta move.
Who are you always having to move?
Sure. Have to?
No, I've got to go. I want to see some more people.
Well, she knows that.
You were saying you were out yesterday with Frank and your daughters?
Sunday? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got you.
I saw your cow out there. I thought it was a little shrinking a little bit.
She got out anymore?
Well, not that I know her.
She's still in the field. I fed her.
Good enough, yeah. Missed your horses. Looking for them.
They're down there.
You gave her a handout?
Oh, yeah.
She don't look like she's had many, does she?
No, but she knows what that handout is, though.
Oh?
See, I fed her Saturday evening when I brought her in. And I fed her twice yesterday. Then tonight when I went down there, see, I fed them horses a bite. I took her around the corner, fed her. And she knows how to follow that bucket.
Yeah.
She done learned how to follow that bucket.
Yeah. And she don't bother about them horses.
No. But I had to stand there and watch her to keep the horses away from her. I'm gonna stop that this week.
We never did get that stable up down there, did we?
I'm going to stop that up.
Just got so many things to do.
You know, I hate to cook. Sound like somebody's breaking in that window, doesn't it?
Order my rye today. Ryegrass.
Seminole?
No. What do you pay for it?
I don't know.
You don't know. You don't remember what you paid last year.
I didn't have any last year.
That's right. You before that.
Oh, you're the one that planted ryegrass.
Yeah, that's right. I planted.
You planted, yeah.
I paid 17 cents for it last year. Now I ordered 500 pounds today for 9.5 cents.
Oh, yeah.
Golly.
9.5 cents a pound. You can't beat that price nowhere.
How'd you get on the line?
Well, this friend of mine works at the university. He's a supervisor over landscaping. He buys it from Johnston Ferris.
Yeah.
For the university.
Yeah.
For 9.5 cents a pound. And he said, do you need any? I said, yeah, I need 500 pounds.
Well, I tell you.
That's $47.50 worth. And how much green can you buy for $47.50? We're going to have to put some in there. I'd be enough to put a little bit in there faster. 20-pound bacon.
Yeah. You don't have to wear yourself out changing them.
That's right.
Well,
Oh, golly.
Old Everett's the one that likes to get them and get it at cost, isn't
he? He can't beat me on that, I'll guarantee you.
No, he can't do it. No, he's got to go around and tell him he's a preacher's son. Well, he's akin to him or something.
Yeah. But he just asked me, he said, do you need some? I said, yeah, I need some more. He said, how much? I said, 500 pounds. Well, he said, I'll put in an order, be in next week.
Just simple as that.
Just that simple.
Amen.
Cookie just happens to be at the right place.
Yeah, apparently.
Eat a little of this while you're sitting there.
I don't want anything. I don't eat.
If I do eat.
Well, sure, nah. You're gonna call me a liar, but I'm gonna tell you what I eat. I went home, Helen had hot biscuits, fried apples, pork chops, cream corn, and mashed potatoes.
Yeah, that's a lie. Anybody got food like that would be home now.
I sit down and I eat all the fried apples and hot biscuits I could hold and let the rest of us sit there.
Fried apples and hot
fried
biscuits.
Fried apples and hot biscuits.
How long them West Virginia apples gonna last?
We got the freezer full.
Still got the freezer full.
Still got the freezer full.
Well, as the pile gets down, you can go a little easier on them because they sure are worth having, aren't they?
Oh, my goodness.
It was worth a trip to West Virginia to bring those things back.
Well, if I could go again, I could bring twice that many more back.
Yeah.
That's already, that's a lot riper than those were, a lot better apples.
You mean they still got them?
Yes, they still got them.
On the compound.
Call it.
I wouldn't go just for that, but.
It's tempting.
You tell Helen we didn't have any fried apples yesterday.
Well, now I'm gonna take up for her on this. Now I'm gonna take up for her. You was lucky to get what you had, cause she worked all night and night before last, and she never went to bed until she never shut an eye until after we she came down here.
I think that's
just
right. Terrible.
Went in the front room and lay down.
That's right.
Awful, huh? Husky. Anybody sit around and eat? Somebody hadn't slept all night? All that good food?
And I've got apologies to make to you. And you know what it is.
Well, it's what I think it is. I don't want to know.
Oh, man.
My friend, not alone. You didn't get anywhere with him.
No, but I'll tell you what I did do today. I saw that rascal coming and I drove 5 blocks out of my way to dodge him.
People wouldn't believe that, would they?
No, they'd have to see it. People won't believe that. They absolutely will not.
Absolutely will not. He's changed my whole history. My whole career. It all changed now on account of that fella.
Boy, now let me tell you, there's another one that was he was ready to go too, don't you know? That's nobody old Frank.
It wouldn't do any good. He don't know. He wouldn't understand it if you knock him in the head. He said, what in the hell do you do that for?
You know, Frank told me, he said, Daddy, he said, I had all I could think of.
You tell Frank, he just started.
Well, now I'll tell you what. He went so far as to say, he said, if I go down there anymore, and he's down there, I'm going to leave.
I am too.
He's going to do him pretty good. He'll leave, he'll find him.
I had a sinking feeling when he said, you know, this horse needs riding. Snoopy, I'm going to come out every weekend and ride this horse. I said, oh no, she doesn't need riding. She's just fine.
Really, what happened when he went off?
And got stuck. Right down in front of Bessie. I sent him on off, and he was gone, and he went right down. There's one place in front of Bessie's that you could get stuck. Just one place.
And he got in.
And he headed his car right into it.
What? Did he unstick himself?
No, these boys up here went down there and pulled him out. So he brought them back up, and that's why he was out here when he all came out.
He brought them back up. That's where they pulled the boner.
That's where they goofed up.
They all insisted on walking. And just hit a light off through the field.
I never thought that the fellow who knew everything as much as he did.
And tell you about it.
Well, he tried to pull the same thing on me down about Bailey as he did Newton.
Oh
no. He said, she needs to be rode every weekend. Every week. I said, no, she don't. She just needs to be worked, and you ain't got enough guns to work her.
You should have been here, Mark.
Oh, you could have wrote a book on that boy.
I wouldn't read it, but you could have wrote it.
I probably would have left too.
You probably would have left too, Mark.
Yeah. How about some of your own food?
Cooking them was trying to get home. And they stayed with Bob Dark.
Yeah.
Just saving me from that fella.
That's good.
Yes, it took the whole damn place to keep him off of me where I could move, didn't it?
That's right.
Oh, I never saw. I've heard about fellows like that, but I never saw one.
Mm. Mm. Don't ever, if you hear any problem, people, don't take them on. don't think you can do it when others can't. Well, we got that. Mark just about got that bottom fence down there, the Pappy's holding pasture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But get the barge up there so we can keep Pappy in or something else. It got to the point where the cows just walked through that fence.
Just look at them walk on.
Yeah.
Actually, that's what happened down here to my cow. She just looked at him walk on through it.
She wasn't breaking out.
But they went down there to catch them horses and got her excited. She got to run. This character was out here yesterday. Cause her to break out. Heck, she'd come on back up home. She'd come on home. She knew where she was at.
She rested that.
Sure she did.
Been 6 years since she's here. She went right.
And she knew this area?
Went right back to her place.
I got a good one on Tommy this morning, though.
I wish you'd strike up with somebody else. I
Well, I want to tell you what I told him, though.
It don't interest me. Anything about him interests me.
I told him, I said, boy, you're a hell of a fella. He said, what's the matter now? I said, sell a man a cow that'll jump over the moon. He said, what do you mean? Oh, I said, that cow would jump over the moon. I put her in my pasture to sell my horses all the time. And I said, she just went right on out. He said, no, she didn't. I said, yes, she did. I said, she went right on out.
That was good enough. You didn't have to fill in.
You never see old Jack Stokes.
Yeah.
He's the man now. He's got plenty on the ball, cause.
Well, he's the man that offered me $40 profit.
Well, I take it to Jack, you see. I'd work with Jack, and I don't care. If he beats you, it's still interesting.
Well, now, if he beats me, he's going to know it.
He lives in a big new house now.
Yeah.
Jack so?
Right, built him a big, fine home.
It never worked out where we go over there to his rodeo. We just never could get over there, could we?
Never could get there. Everything else would be bobbed up in our way.
You suppose that's the way it always is?
I don't know, but I can get straightened out a little bit. Get Frank back on the wheel. See, I had to take him home tonight to work on his car. That's where it's goofed up, see. I'd have been out here by 5 o'clock, but I had to take him back and straighten him out on his car.
Get him started.
But he's going to do the work. I ain't even going to turn him over. He goofed it up, now he can fix it up.
Yeah.
I'll show him and give him advice.
Yeah.
But he's going to do the manual work, I'm not.
Well, that'll hold him down for a few days.
I'll hold him down the rest of this week.
Where's he? Where did you have to take him? Hop in?
Yeah.
That's pretty far.
Mark hadn't been over there.
No, I haven't been over there.
Yeah, he's got his car tore down right there in my little shop. And he's going to grind the valves himself. He's going to latten me in the hard way.
I got a book I want you to read.
Hey.
Now, this is the way my friends write. I can't see as well as Mark. I'll just let him do the reading. Now, this is the evaluation at the end of it. Now, you acquainted with that book?
No, I'm not. I know the guy. I'm surprised he... I didn't know he wrote a book or edited a book. What would you let me read?
Just start off there and read. Where he's given his interpretation of those things that he has edited.
Don't make it too long, because I've got to be in Southwest 44th Avenue by 7:30.
If you wait a minute or two, you'll be too. You won't make it. Go ahead.
Attempts to evaluate the preceding chapters involve a number of considerations. What is stressed, as well as what is entirely omitted in such a discussion, should betray the author's prejudices. Particular prescription of the eyeglasses used in the evaluation. Therefore, at the outset, it would be useful to suggest to the reader one or two of the guidelines to be followed. First, an attempt will be made to indicate the merits and usefulness of the material just presented. Inevitably, this will suggest the limitations of these insights, depending upon the kinds of questions and problems which each devoted his energies to. Second, it is assumed that there is merit to a consideration of these writings, but that this depends in large part not only upon one's estimate of the validity of the question which one tries to answer, but also upon one's estimate of the adequacy of the answer. Question, answer, and evaluation imply certain subjective factors which the reader will and should obviously feel free to accept, reject, or modify in terms of his own situation. Third, such an approach implies a multi-level evaluation in view of the variety of considerations and perspectives involved. My God. I can't understand this stuff. What do you want me to read it for? This applies not only to their respective merits and limitations viewed from the perspective of the problems they faced during their own lifetimes, but also from the standpoint of the relevance of their insights to present as well as anticipated future needs and questions. That's the first paragraph. You want me to continue?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thus, on one level, a study and evaluation of this kind can be of interest to students of intellectual and cultural history, as well as to those in the fields of theology, philosophy of religion, and hermeneutics, or something like that. On another level, those concerned with interpersonal relationships and problems of communication might gain something from this material. It may well be that in a computer, an electronically oriented age, the word, speech, and the spirit can share in the fashioning of a society which 50 or even 15 years ago few men in these disciplines could have anticipated or envisioned. The emphasis in the preceding chapters upon the potential sacredness of human speech set against a Johannine background may well signify the possibility of a new creative partnership among physical and social scientists, humanists, communication specialists, and students of religion. Perhaps men will once again realize that no man can totally divorce and isolate the spiritual or the sacred from human concerns. If man is the polyphonic creature, which much of the preceding material suggests, then he must begin to focus his interest upon the harmony and integration of his multiform unity rather than upon any single role or style. Gradually he may develop an ear for the appropriate tune and style a particular occasion requires of him. Naturally, this insight ought not to be limited exclusively to those whose writings we have just discussed. While their writings may be of particular concern for theologians interested in hermeneutics and communication, certainly others have contributed significantly to an understanding of man as a linguistically polyphonic creature. The writings of Paul Tillich and Ernst Cassirer, for example, have stressed the importance of appreciating man's complexity, richness, and unity from a wide variety of approaches. Each in his own idiom has devoted considerable attention not only to language as a method of understanding man, but also as a force and energy which can shape reality. In 1939, Paul Tillich, for example, touched upon man's multiform nature in a discussion of the existentialist view of man. Though his emphasis is upon methodology rather than speech per se, the reader can easily see the connection between method and speech, since the former consists essentially of a particular linguistic style. Tillich wrote that, and then there's an excerpt from Tillich, a long excerpt from Tillich.
Well, now, you know what impresses me about that is, why didn't I ever think of that?
Well, what does it mean now?
Now, that's the man that came out here and rode Molly.
Came out with
his family.
And was it?
Oh, Hellstrom.
Hellstrom.
Yeah, Harold Steamer. Religious significance of language. Well, I think he just is too wordy. He could say what he has to say if he says anything in a simple, more simple way.
You mean it appears to be a little bit wordy?
Sure does.
To you?
To me.
Well, now that's your meat there, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been exposed to a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I've rejected it. But I haven't understood it. I've been, you know, through a lot of college you read this sort of stuff. Particularly if you're in philosophy. You know, the logic of religious language, the structure of language, and I just don't swallow it at all. I don't understand it, and when I do understand it, it just it seems rather stupid. You know.
Well... Now, he didn't talk like that out here, not to me.
You've heard him on campus, have you?
No.
Too? He might talk like that on campus. Huh?
Now, you see, he's one of your daddy's good friends, too.
Yeah.
And your daddy, he supports him.
I'm very personal.
I don't mean just your daddy, but I mean all of them, too.
You know what? Well, little I talked to him out there, he broke it down. I mean, he didn't talk like that. He broke it down in my language.
Well, I'm not sure anyone can understand this, eh? Even people, if he talks to him on campus in class.
He got polyphonic something with binocular vision.
No, that's just a...
phrase in there.
That's a gobbledygook or a lot of... you can say something simpler. Same sort of thing, I'm convinced. If I could find out what he's saying here, I could probably rephrase it, you know, and much more understandable term. But I think he's muddled himself. When a guy has to use language like this, I'm not sure he's clear to himself.
You see that?
Yeah, very good.
He sure missed me.
Well, just the act. He gave you the book in appreciation. That I don't know what.
I went to his office and talked to him, man. And he said, "You just wait a minute." Mm-hmm. He looked through all his briefcases, his cabinets, and finally found a stack of those and brought one out and handed it to me. I saw his name on it, and I thought, well, now it was nice. And then I knew before I took it that I was in for it.
You're in for it if you ask your question, how did you enjoy the book? And you're going to be a little corny.
Well, now, you see why those people up on the campus, that little youngsters, you don't realize it, but when you see them perform, you see they're so addled. Well, you can hang over that.